Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers! Hi, Susie, what's up?
Hello to you, Miss Barbara Bird, and all of our wonderful listeners. Welcome to episode 155 of the Groom Pod, recorded on February 25th, 2018, in Snohomish, Washington, and Tucson, Arizona. This episode is sponsored by John Stasko and Stasko's products, featuring the famous Stasko conditioning spray. Find them online and at your favorite distributors. This week, we're going to talk about hiring mistakes, pH and conditioning ingredients, and reverse shaving. You can join our discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. Subscribe to The Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, or pretty much anywhere else. And you can find all important things about The Groom Pod at www.thegroompod.com, including our Amazon banner, the donation button, and the Patreon button. Remember to share us with your friends and support our sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bbird.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. Talking about supporting our sponsors, Groom Expo was last week. And I was talking to Chris from Evolution Shears, and apparently only one of you listeners went up to her and told her you heard about her shears on the Groom Pod. We need more action than that. We need you guys to go up and talk to the sponsors and say, hey, we're hearing this on the podcast, and we love that you advertise and support the Groom Pod, because we really do appreciate them. But if they don't get feedback from us, they may not renew their advertising contract, which means I've got to grovel for more money from you guys, and we don't want that to happen. We all know how awkward I am about that. The painful thing that is. God. But at least one of you, I don't know who it was, but one of you did go up to Chris and tell her that you heard about Evolution Shears on the Groom Pod, which is all we want you to do. Go up and take a look at the shears. And, you know, if you don't buy them, that's okay. But let her know that the advertising works. Because even if it doesn't convert to a sale, at least she's getting feedback that what we're saying here on the show is coming back to her. So just a little mention. What's new with you this week, Barbara?
Oh, I had an interesting week, Susie. And I sit here a little bit. Well, I'm not going to be embarrassed, but humbled. Let's say somewhat humbled. Because, you know, I've taught somewhat skeptically about the Nagayu bathing system and the lack of available science to back up the notion that citric acid and baking soda kind of bath bomb for pets would do anything. Right. Well, it's not that I don't believe that it will do anything. It's just that I just can't quite buy their explanation of what it's doing. Let's say that. But this is what happened to me this week. I used the Nagayu. I did two instances of dogs with skin problems that I used the Nagayu tablets through the Bathing Beauty.
Oh, really? So you no nozzle or anything? You just put them in the water?
Yeah, just put them in the water. So, you know, like after reading all, you know, like I did a lot of in-depth research and ran into the patents for the original Nagayu tablets. And I didn't see anything there that told me that it had to be their shower head. Their shower head is a mechanism that they're using, you know, and they've separated the shower head from the bubble system, the micro bubble system, so that you don't necessarily need the $1,000 micro bubble system to get a spa bath. It's now boiled down to a shower head and a tablet So what they did in their patent, they said that they worked hard to get a tablet that didn't dissolve so fast that it dissolved all in the first 30 seconds of the shower. So, you know, like if you put an Alka-Seltzer in a glass, how long does it take that to dissolve? A minute, maybe. Right? Well, if you're trying to get 5 to 8 minutes of spa showering, you've got to have a tablet that dissolves slower. So they worked and worked to develop their tabs that gave you sustained dissolving over a period of time that allowed for some therapy to occur. Okay, so I used the Nagayu. Here were the two dogs that I had. One dog is an elderly Cocker Spaniel with a life history of agonizing skin problems. She's fortunately been rehomed in the last 5 years by my wealthy customers who have spent thousands of dollars on veterinary dermatology for Miss Sadie. And she still has these episodes where she just itches 24/7. So I thought, well, there's a case, you know, and then we have done mud baths, we've done results rinse, we've done everything I could think of, oatmeal baths. She's come in with prescriptions, you know, and we do exactly what they say, and we'll bathe her and dry her gently and put her in a crate and she starts itching. And you can just hear her. I can hear her from the other room. Thump, 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 thump in her kennel, right?
Can you imagine all night long in your bed? Thump, 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 thump,
you know, shit, you know, poor thing. So she was one dog, and the other dog is an elderly poodle that I groom frequently. Oh, and I groom Sadie every 2 weeks. So the other one is also in every 2 or 3 weeks, elderly poodle that I've been grooming his entire life. And the last time that he was in, I noticed that he had kind of a seborrheic condition on the on his top line, on his back, where it was like greasy and discolored and a little yeasty maybe or something waxy up there. And I said, oh, that might be something, you know. And I want to tell you, this was the protocol that I did. I used the Amira, the Glacial Rain People sugar shampoo, which is a glucoside, sulfate free, very gentle but good clean shampoo. And so I shampooed him with a very mild sulfate free shampoo, and then I rinsed them, drained the tub, redrew a tub of quite hot water, because in the patent I noticed it's always hot water. So I use fairly hot water, and I dropped the tablet in, and then I started showering the dogs. And I would just shower and shower and shower, and a good 5 minutes of showering and or more. And then I dried them gently with the HV dryer and the stand dryer. And both dogs, I put Sadie had icky ears and everything, and I just held her ear canal shut, pinched it shut gently with my thumb and forefinger, and then cleaned the inside of the cleaned around the outer ear there as much as I could, and then I put her in the crate and I started hearing the thumping. Well, I looked at her. She was scratching her ear, so I might have gotten a little water down in her ear. But she quit that within a minute, and then no more scratching.
Wow. That's really impressive.
No more. She was in that kennel for another hour and a half before her mom showed up. No more scratching. And the other one was Jet, the little toy poodle. And I, of course, concentrated the spray shower on his back there. And oh my God, that skin was so white. It was not pink. It was just white and no greasiness and no debris. And his owner was like so freaking impressed, she tipped me $20.
Really?
Yes.
Now, you know, did you charge extra for the using?
No,
the bathroom? Not this time.
No, well, I get a lot of money for Sadie and Dave, you know, so it's kind of figured into their price. And but for the poodle, I didn't, because basically he was a brush bath treatment and I got $50 and
that's
then
fine.
She tipped me, you know, and that was fine. But I have to say that I was impressed, and I've got to eat a little crow. You know, I've just got to apologize publicly. I'm not going to apologize for my skepticism, because that's right.
I was going to say that I don't know that you have to
know. Maybe I don't have to apologize, but I do need to broadcast my results.
Indeed.
Right?
And part of the difference, and I kind of touched on it last week, but part of the difference between what we do here is that we are talking groomers, talking to each other and discovering and learning together. So you guys are listening to the learning process with us. This is a new technology. Barbara investigates it. We all start out skeptics. That's like the basis for scientific investigation, is you have to be a little skeptical and you've got to question, why is this working? But just like anything else, if it works, well, we're going to jump on board with both feet, you know, absolutely. Now, I haven't tried it. That's why I'm kind of, you know, as my usual position, standing on Barbara's coattails, because she did try it. But I've read lots of great groomer response on this. So I think it's exciting to be part of your learning journey, Barbara. And that's why we love you. And that's why it's so important that we figure out a way to help fund your studies, rather than trying to, trying to just basically bounce along with covering bandwidth. I'd like to be able to pay Barbara to research. That's my dream for the podcast. And one of the ways you could probably help us do that is through Patreon. And I'm just fully disclosing that I have no rewards up there at this point, but I wanted to thank a couple people. I think I mentioned that Michael from Cascade gave us $25, but I wanted to mention it again, because that's a substantial donation monthly, you know, and I really appreciate it. And if all I do is mention Cascade Grooming Supplies and Cascade Grooming Supplies a few times, I feel better. So thank you, Michael from Cascade Grooming Supplies, for your donation. And also this week, Carly Rivera has donated $5 a month. So I love that Patreon thing, but we've really kind of dropped the ball in getting something to give back to you guys. So we are working on that. I know I've said that before. I've got the video, but I don't have enough hours in the day to get everything done. It's just crazy, crazy stuff. So I got puppies this week.
You got puppies?
Well, I didn't get my own puppies, but I got puppies back into the grooming family from people who I haven't seen for a while. And the thing I want to praise is I just love originality in naming of pets. You know, yes. I love originality. So we have two Shih Tzus. We have Tater Tot and June Bug. Oh, and they're so cute and perfect.
Cute.
Little with their squishy little faces, and just puppy love. And I got to play with them this week. I just love puppy season, and it started a little early in my world. So you guys on Facebook might know I've given away all my days off. I don't know how that happened, but that's why I haven't been able to get to the video editing. Like, I've dragged and dropped the video on and saved it, but I haven't been able to do anything with it. But it's coming. I swear it's coming. Anything else exciting for you this week?
No, you know, I've got to tell you this. I told Susie this a little while ago, but I'm going to share it with our Groom Pod people. So one of my very regular customers is this kind of know-it-all man that I groom his soft-coated Wheaton Terrier. And he loves my grooming and supports me a whole lot. He's one of the guys, he won't tip me. And I finally I finally embarrassed him into tipping $5 to Yvonne, and he tries to give the $5 directly to Yvonne right in front of me. You know, he's looking at me and he's handing her the $5, and she says, "No, put it in the jar." You know, that's why
we love Yvonne.
Yeah, that's why we love Yvonne. And but you know, this man, he makes his living from real estate, I think, but he fancies himself my fucking life coach. Listen to this. He's on his way out the door with his dog, and I don't know how we hit on the subject. I wish I could remember, because I'll never go there again. He starts to tell me I could stand to lose some weight.
This is your client.
This is my client. He's telling me he's starting to itemize the benefits of weight loss.
Well, because you've never heard that before, right?
Because oh my God, I didn't know it would put less stress on my bad knee.
Go figure.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll just go right on my diet. You know, he's telling me, he's itemizing the benefits of weight loss for this 200-something-pound 78-year-old. Like, you know, he walked out the door, and I turned to Yvonne. I said, "Did my customer just tell me that I was too fat?"
Did Yvonne just look away? What happened?
Well, Yvonne is like my puppy. She loves me. I could weigh 350 pounds and she would say, no, you're not fat. You're just a little chunky.
That's right. I'm with her. I'm right there with her. That's funny.
But, you know, I chewed on that for a little while. And then I finally like, okay, how can I make this into a positive? And here's what I said. You know, that customer is so totally comfortable with me that he would risk offending me on my weight issue. You know, and also I can flip him the bird.
Yes.
You know, and I, of all people, Barbara Bird.
Allowed. You're allowed.
Should be allowed to flip the bird.
Yes. But, you know. It's funny. You get to know your clients pretty well.
Oh, and they get to know me. I had a
weird thing happen. As discussed previous in the episode, I'm a little awkward with the money thing. I always have been. So when I get home, well, probably at the end of the week, I gather all my checks up and I put them through my check scanner, and I don't really look at them. I just send them through the scanner. And then if there's an error, I correct it. If there's no error, I never look any closer. And I did my deposit like normal. And then Saturday morning, I got a phone call from one of my clients. She said, "Hi, rich lady." And I said, "Hi." And she said, "You have an extra $850 in your bank account because I wrote the check wrong." And sure enough, she wrote $85 in the number part, which is the only part I even glance at. But in the written out part, she wrote $850. And lo and behold, the bank will take checks written to pretty much anyone that has S, T, and G in the name in any order. Susie the Groomer somehow, doesn't matter how it's spelled or whether it's correct or not. Susie's Grooming, Susie the Groomering. I mean, it's been every possible way. The bank sends that through. But if you send through a check with the written number on the line incorrect, that's the number they're going to put through. So they deposited 850 of these ladies' dollars into my bank account for a cat grooming.
Good tip.
I know. And, you know, I never looked. I just didn't even peek. So when the phone call came and I looked at it, I, of course, thought something was wrong with the cat since I had just groomed the cat. But it was just that she had given me an extremely large tip, like you said. So I immediately gathered up the money and drove back over there and gave it to her. She's like, "You can wait till Monday." I said, no, I don't want you guys to, I don't want there to be any risk. I'm drive over and I'll give it to you right away. So I did. And I got a reward. I got a puzzle. Yeah, puzzle.
Oh, yeah?
A new jigsaw puzzle.
A jigsaw puzzle?
Yeah.
Do you do them in the winter here?
Yep.
Oh, yeah?
Wow. Yeah. Well, we have a big table that we don't eat at, so you might as well use it for something. So we put a puzzle out in the winter. The problem is it's on the way to the bathroom. So every time we get up and go to the bathroom, you have to stop and do a few pieces of the puzzle. it makes your back a little bit sore, but it's great wintertime activity. A lot of my clients do it too. And this client happened to be doing a puzzle and I walked over there. Boy, it was a difficult one. It was very muted colors and very repetitive colors. And I grumbled about it. And then he went in and he came out with a Ford Mustang puzzle for us. So I thought that was really cool.
That is appropriate. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So that was my reward for doing a good deed. Well, not doing a good deed, but returning money that wasn't mine. Not mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Oops. All right. Well, let's take a break here from Best Shot. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. I don't like to be a boss. I decided pretty early that I really don't like to be a boss. So my only hiring experience is I was the manager at a pizza restaurant, a chain pizza restaurant, you know, one that says pizza pizza. I managed a pizza restaurant, and I had to hire basically teenagers, you know, first job situations. And it was miserable. I was miserable interviewing these kids, and none of them had ever learned how to work. Nobody had gone to work with their parents at that point, like we did when we were little. So it was like they didn't show up. They didn't wear their uniforms. It was a horrible, horrible hiring experience for me. The only other experience I have with hiring is I've helped the vet hospital that I got fired from hire their groomers. So I've done some hiring with him. But I don't really have a ton of experience, and especially bad experience with hiring, except for the pizza thing. Tell me your employee history at this point.
I've had some ups and downs on that. And by the way, I think this can be a fun topic. So, you know, like usually we say, you know, like, what are your best hiring practices, or how do you hire a good, you know, good employee? Well, that's all fine and good, but let's look at it from this other. Let's share with each other some of your worst hiring mistakes.
I like to stick that up on the Facebook group right now. I didn't want to do it for the topic because I didn't want it to influence our conversation, but I'm going to do it now so that people can go right to it after we're done with the show.
Yeah, you know, like one of the things that I learned kind of early on was to check references. So it's not enough to take references from people. They get references for their work, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a grooming job, but you just want to know what kind of employees they were. And one of my worst mistakes was not reading between the lines. I did call on a reference, and I noticed that they were very cautious in their response, and their responses, and their conversation. So this previous grooming employer was really stiff and kind of unforthcoming.
But they're not really allowed to say very much.
Yes, but if they're not comfortable and relaxed and reassuring, you might question, because I hired this woman and I called the past place and they said, you know, I tried to ask the right questions. And one good question is, would you hire them again?
Right.
Would you hire them again is a good question. And they can answer that honestly. I didn't ask the right questions. I just kind of left it too open-ended, and they just kind of stiffly worked their way around the question. And they just mainly said she was all right and, you know, da-da-da. And I hired this girl, and on her second day, she asked me for an advance so she could buy her medication, which I recognize as for bipolar disorder.
Oh my.
And then she revealed that she was into goth.
Well, there's two strikes. Well, not necessarily.
So we start.
Goth people are fine.
Some goth people are fine, but you know, you might want to hire someone that's into the same kind of music you are. You know, I would now incorporate that, you know, like, what kind of music do you like to listen to while you're working? And then she, you know, because, well, there was another thing. Her name was Mary. Her name you had to make the check out to was Mary, but she went by the name Marin. And it just got darker and darker. And she turned out to be a very dangerous employee. I just sensed she was the employee that took the HV dryer on almost any dog. She would use the cone nozzle directly into the coat so it would whip little mats into the coat, and then she would take a comb and rip them out.
Oh, that's no good.
Oh, and dogs were so uncomfortable with her, and I was always going in and say, you know, and then I said, what are you doing? Don't do that. She said, well, this is the way I learned.
Oh, man. When you get yourself a situation like that, how long did you live with it?
Not very long. I'm telling you, within a month, I was finding ways. I stopped taking any new customers. I'll tell you that. You know, within a month, I was finding out how to gently push her out. I had to push her out without offending her, you know, and I did it by just like drying up the customer load.
Yeah.
Until suddenly I couldn't afford help anymore. You know, like I wasn't paying, she wasn't earning enough, and she went on. But boy, that was a mistake. And I thought I was following, you know, like I thought I was doing so good because I had learned to ask for references and to call them.
Right, to physically call.
And I did that, and I still screwed up.
Yeah.
So, you know what? And so I didn't, in the midst of that phone call, I didn't listen to my inner voice saying, this ain't right. And you know what? I think they were afraid of her. She went on to the next place. I think I've shared this before. She went on at the next place. She actually physically attacked a customer who criticized her grooming.
I think you did mention that. Wow. Ticking time bomb.
Yeah, she was a ticking time bomb. And, you know, like at least I was smart enough and had my mental health background to allow me to see that she was a ticking time bomb. And I handled her like that and didn't give her reason to retaliate against me as I eased her gently out the door. But another mistake that I've made is like taking acquaintances.
I was just going to mention that.
Yeah. Taking acquaintances in and people that I knew somewhat.
Right. Sometimes they might be grooming related, but other times they may not even be grooming related.
Yeah, they might not, you know, like, and this happens hiring bathers, because we all kind of go on that almost anybody can do it. Well, that's not true.
That's true.
And one of the worst mistakes that I made was I hired this. I was very much in the midst of the women's movement in the 60s and 70s and in the early 80s, which was when I started my shop. And I hired this huge lesbian woman.
She giggles.
This huge butch lesbian woman. Okay. So like, I'm so proud because, you know, like I didn't not hire her.
Right. You know? Good job.
Yeah. You know, like I'm so open-minded. I hired this big butch lesbian woman and she turned against me.
Oh no.
Oh, she was going to punch me. This was at the tub. So
oh,
I come over. So yeah, she's bathing a dog. And I came over to give her a correction of some sort. She took her fist back. She was going to punch me in the face. That's huge.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
That's bad.
I know. So, I said, I stepped away from her and you know, and then I said, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't think we can work together. And then I had another friend that I hung out with a little bit and brought her in to bathe for me. And she was the one that walked out on me in the middle of a day with a wet dog in the crate because she wouldn't fluff dry. And I was really a perfectionist back then. And she just told me I was too fucking fussy. You're too fucking fussy about this.
Okay, you know? It's our livelihood.
Yeah, you know, like she's just trying to, she was just trying to simplify the job or something, you know, like you're making it out to be more than it should be. You know, excuse me.
Oh, man.
So hiring acquaintances, you know, can just really be dangerous.
And hiring in groomers in general, hiring in a grooming environment is tricky at best, because you've got a lot of people who want to work with animals and think this would be a great way to go, but maybe don't have really great work histories. But it's not like we get a lot of applicants. You'd think we'd have lots and lots of applicants, but when it gets down to it, people don't want to do it.
It is so hard. It is really hard to find groomers. Now, it's somewhat hard to find good bathers, but you can do it. You know, and I've even hired a good bather out of the want ads, you know, and it's, but I've had people show up for bathing positions that didn't even like animals. They just needed a job so bad.
Thinking it's like dishwasher.
You know? Yeah, thinking it's like dishwasher. Thank you. And the problem that I have had in hiring groomers is they want to groom. So I had a groom. She wanted to groom 12 dogs a day. You know, she wanted 50% and she wanted to groom 12 dogs a day. She said, I can easily do 12 dogs a day. Well, you know what? Excuse me. I don't even have 12 dogs a day.
I was going to say, well, you better get to breeding. You know, because
so, you know, like, so sometimes when you hire a really, well, you know, like, first of all, I don't think that somebody that's saying that they can do 12 dogs a day is, yeah, I could probably finish 12 dogs a day with a bather.
Right.
If there was a couple of little Yorkies in there, you know, depending on the dogs, right? A couple of little Yorkies in there or something. But I couldn't do that 5 days a week. I couldn't do that with the quality of work that I'm doing now. You know, I couldn't do soft-coated wheat and terrier breed specific. I couldn't do full Bichon. I couldn't do my hand stripping. Boy, I couldn't do any of that and do that kind of volume. So if people want that kind of, if they've been doing that kind of high volume work, the chances are they're doing not the quality of work that you might be putting out. You have to find somebody that's on a kind of equal basis with you on what they're putting out. Now, maybe if you're running a high volume shop, then there's no problem. But you see, if you work hard like I have to find a niche for yourself in your community where you're doing breed specific profiles and scissoring, then you've got to have groomers who can do that. And the problem that I've had is that the groomer who can do that is the groomer who's like 3 months away from wanting to have her own business.
That's right. Very, very true statement right there. Yeah. That's what so many of us are working towards. I'm not saying everybody is, but if you're hiring, if you get somebody that's good, they're transitional. And I have a friend right now, she listens to the podcast, the lady that I've been dealing with the vet hospital, she has two interviews with two different places. And, you know, I'm not sure which one she would fit better in, but they're so very different in the way they run their businesses that I told her, you know, go look at one, but make sure you go look at the other and see what works for you and go on a busy Friday, because you can really tell how a shop runs if you walk in there during a busy day and it's, you know, you just kind of take a peek at what's going on. But not everybody fits in every environment. And what you're saying is perfectly reasonable. That person wouldn't fit, but you've got to have the interview and the conversation to get to that point.
Yeah, and I think it's a good idea to hold out for pictures of their grooming.
Right.
You know, like I no longer would ever hire someone without a portfolio. And I also want somebody that's interested in continuing education. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they have to prove to me that they've been to a seminar or a trade show. They have to at least express some interest.
Yes.
You know,
willingness to learn and change and fit in and adapt.
And to grow.
Right.
You know, where do you want to go from here?
Yeah, I wish it was easier. And, I wish there was more groomers out there, but it just isn't, you know? So we're going to be faced with this groomer shortage for quite a while, I'm afraid.
So there is also the question of, do you ask them to come in and do a grooming? You know, I've done that. And what I've found in that situation is that if you get someone in there on like a half day to do a couple of dogs with you, it sometimes relaxes the situation enough that they'll start talking about some of their grooming experiences. One of my funny experiences with that was that I had this guy in there grooming away, and we were talking about grooming experiences, and I might have asked him, have you ever cut a dog by accident? You know, that's a good question.
That's a great one.
And he said, oh, yeah. He said, one time I was cutting down this old English sheepdog, and I was cutting down his chest, and I put my clippers down, and I had cut a 7-inch slice down his chest.
Yikes. Yikes.
Well, he didn't get hired. Yeah. And I, you know, like, and I just went along with it. Whoa, you know, as I mentally closed the door
right
on the interview.
All I can say on this subject is I am firmly decided I don't want to be an employer, really. So I won't ever have to hire anybody. I don't like it. You know, I feel bad because one of the groomers that got hired at the vet hospital got fired because she wasn't me. Doug wanted a second me, and there just isn't a second me. And
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. And that's like, there isn't a second me. I always want to hire a mini me. You know, there isn't a mini me.
And when that's all that the person's ever known, you know, when the vet has only ever had you as a groomer, and then you bring in somebody else who's a little different, it just didn't work. So when they fired poor Cindy, when poor Cindy got fired, I took her aside and I said, don't worry, you're fine. Go do your own thing. And she did. And she's still grooming. So it's all good.
So I would like to hear, from our listeners about their hiring mistakes and what they've learned the hard way. I think it's important information to share, because we can say things like, oh, you need to have a written job description. Yeah, sure you do. But what's gone wrong?
Yeah, we want to hear what's gone wrong.
We want to hear what's gone wrong. We want to hear about your hiring mishaps and mistakes.
Yes. Okay? So here's the deal. Next week on the What's New, if there's some good stories, I want to read them on air. Because, you know, there's like 3,000 people out there that listen to the show, but not everybody's on Facebook all the time. So I want to share some of these really good stories with some of our listeners. All right. Time for a break. Let's hear from South Park. And then we're going back to school. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Park Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Park, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Park's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Park's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Veterinary vocabulary is bacteria or bacterium. Bacteria or bacterium is a prokaryotic organism, meaning it's microscopic, single-celled, and of simple structure. It lives in soil, water, and in or on bodies, plant bodies or human bodies or animal bodies. It is bad and it's good. And some forms of bacteria are extremophiles, or they can live in extreme conditions and habitats. So there you go. Good and bad. It's not always bad. But the bacteria that we talk about so often, the Pseudomonas aeruginosa, that's a bad bacteria.
Nasty.
Nasty.
Evil bacteria.
So that's why I brought that up. So let's go to grooming, do the grooming glossary next. Our word for, yeah, the glooming, the gloomy glossary. All right, this week's term is spring of the ribs. Spring of the ribs actually means curvature of the ribs. But when we talk spring of the ribs, we mean the widest part of the spring of the ribs. And we use that for making patterns on dogs, especially like Cocker Spaniels, where the hair just falls off of the spring of the ribs. So it's important for setting patterns, right?
Right.
Cool. And on to the definition du jour. Let's talk about pH and conditioning ingredients.
Okay, so I have kind of mentioned this before. You've heard me say that sometimes the pH of the finished product, like say the shampoo, is determined not so much by the pH of the animal or human, but by the formula needs itself. So what does that mean? I've gotten a little bit more insight into that, that cationic conditioning ingredients do not always retain their cationic quality when in an alkaline pH. So the pH of this is one of the reasons that conditioners are almost always slightly acidic, is because especially quats, which are the quaternary ammonium compounds like citrammonium chloride, these quats do not become substantive to the coat unless they're in an acidic formula.
Meaning they don't hang on to the coat?
Mean they don't hang on to the coat. So one of the biggest problems with conditioning ingredients as a whole category,
yeah,
is that is the whole issue of substantivity, of clinging to the coat. So sometimes we just wash them on and rinse them off.
Right.
You know, there's some kind of conditioning ingredients, especially botanicals and kind of fat ingredients. Okay, but good technical ingredients, good character ingredients have substantivity. They will hold on to the coat in the face of rinsing water, right? So you can't rinse them off. And your quats and cationic conditioners are often not substantive unless they're in a slightly acidic 6.0, 6.5. And so sometimes that need supersedes the pH of the substrate or the, you know, the skin of the recipient.
Right.
Or the hair.
What you're trying to clean or condition.
What you're trying to clean or condition, okay?
Okay.
So that's where the formulator. And that's one of the reasons why we often see a little bit of citric acid or lactic acid or some little acidic ingredient in the last couple of ingredients is there to just like bring it into that acidic range where all of the ingredients are going to function at their optimum level.
It also explains why people with hard water sometimes have a hard time conditioning, right?
Because
it's alkaline. Isn't hard
water,
alkaline?
More alkaline?
Right.
It could be. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because minerals. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That was a good reach.
I was extrapolating.
No, I love it when you do that. You know, I love it when you do that. You've just like grown so much since I met you. Oh, and you are my protege. I'm telling you.
That's my spot.
But yeah. My sidekick.
Yep.
So thank you for that. So there you go.
Cool.
You know, like I just thought that I would clarify and be real, you know, like help you understand that there's a reason why, and it's especially shampoos that have conditioning ingredients amongst them are going to be slightly acidic.
Yeah, just by nature of what they have to do, because conditioners, if you rinse, if it all rinses off, well, what good is it? Some of it has to hang on there and do its job so that we have some protection from the elements and from grooming and from heat and from dirt and all of that stuff. I didn't used to condition as much, but now I condition a lot more because of you.
I condition a lot more, but not always.
Right.
You know, not always. And one of the things I wanted to say about the Nagayu tablets on the poodle, well, on the cocker, who doesn't have a whole lot of coat, but she's got more coat than she did 5 years ago. The coat came out nice and soft and silky. On the poodle, the coat came out very scissorable.
Oh, nice.
You know, nice texture. So there again, I'm kind of impressed so far. Two cases, two successes, and we're continuing to learn and experiment.
Yeah, I might have to get myself a bag of tablets.
Yeah, you might.
Just to help along the experiment, because I've got a few dogs who would certainly benefit from that. Okay. It occurs to me that I was mentioning Evolution Shears way up at the beginning of the show, but I never mentioned the contact information. So I am going to mention that right now. So if you guys are looking to get a really nice pair of swivel shears, well-constructed, fun to use, a great supplement to your arsenal of scissors, I suggest trying Evolution Shears. You can find them at evolutionshears.com, and the phone number is 1-877-560-3057. And once again, remember to ask for Chris and tell her that we at the Groom Pod sent you.
Here's another vocabulary.
Okay.
Double swivel.
Double swivel, like swivel on the top and swivel on the bottom. Oh, no.
No.
Two directions. Evolution
shears are distinctive because they're double swivel. The thumb ring swivels within the thumb ring, right?
Don't tell them?
No.
I didn't know that.
You know how that thumb thing is loose and it no.
Well, I sure like that part about it. If I knew that, I'd have been screaming about that already. Yeah, because it's really nice. It makes it so that you can swivel those shears in lots of different directions comfortably without putting your hands in weird positions.
Yeah. And no, my other swivels that I have predating the evolution.
Yeah.
They don't have the inner part of the thumb ring doesn't swivel like they do on the evolution. Those are what are called double swivel thumbs.
Excellent. I recommend double swivel thumbs for everyone. All right, call Chris and tell her the Groom Pod sent you. If you're enjoying the Groom Pod and all the good things that happen here, and you want to help us continue to grow, consider doing your shopping at Amazon through our Amazon banner on the website. It won't cost you anything more, and the Groom Pod will get a percentage of your sale. This is by far the best way to help us pay for the show. Just go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Amazon ad. Then do your shopping as usual. We really appreciate each and every one of you guys who's been shopping at the Groom Pod's website. Thank you very much. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Over to our At the Table segment, Barbara. Let's talk about reverse shaving. I reverse shave, you reverse shave. It's a great way to clean up some of those track marks.
So the question came up, is it damaging to the coat or skin?
Yeah.
So I think that's a good question. First of all, there's a difference between using reverse clipping to just kind of even something up or get rid of a line or go over the bony part of the hock and smoothing that out, or doing a complete reverse clip. I do reverse clipping here and there to just kind of get a good result, but I'll do a total reverse clipping on Cocker Spaniels that are getting shaved down. It makes for a very velvet-like finish.
I do them there too.
I haven't seen this dog in over a year, but I had a little Yorkie that I always used to do with the Clipper Vac, reverse 7. I don't know why you would have a Yorkie and want to have it skinned, but some people do. But there is a possibility when you are reverse clipping close. There's one thing, I mean, and Snap-on combs seem to work very well with a clipper back in reverse, okay? But that's a comb, and it's way far away from the skin. So I found in my research, my unfunded research, my unfunded Googling research, which I spend hours and hours every week doing, a great picture of the hair, of the canine hair in the skin. And what you see is that, you know, the way that the canine hair lies flat, that hair follicle is also angled and it comes out of the skin at an angle.
That makes sense, because the hair grows a certain direction.
Yeah, the hair grows in that certain direction over the body. And it has the erector pili muscles that allow the hair to stand up on the back. But the hair follicles aren't perpendicular to the skin. So it's not the same. I know, I wish you could see my hands. But only Susie can, and she's just like staring at it. I'm drawing because when you have perpendicular hair, you could clip it either way and it would be the same. But when the hair comes out of the skin at an angle like that, when you clip with the growth, you're like skimming over the opening of the hair follicle. When you clip close in reverse, you're skimming into the hair follicle. And you can more kind of mess up the skin and the opening. The skin has actually kind of got some folds. And I recommend that if you're interested in this and you need to have a little more clarity, that you go to the Facebook page and find the drawing that I shared, which is one of the best drawings of the canine hair follicle. The only criticism I have of that sketch is that it doesn't really show the different lengths of the primary hair and the secondary hair. It shows them all. It's kind of the same length and looking like the same kind of hair. But nonetheless, it shows how it comes out of the skin at an angle and how the skin is kind of rumpled and wavy at the level of where the follicles come out. And there's a possibility for damaging the openings of the hair follicle and or jamming debris into the opening of the hair follicle, especially if you were doing a close reverse clipping on a dirty dog. You could really stuff up the opening of the hair follicles with dirt and wax and oily stuff from the clippers.
Maybe even Pseudomonas.
Maybe even some Pseudomonas, yeah. So, it's not a fact that clipping in reverse damages coat or skin. It's that it has a possibility thereof. You need to be mindful of that. It's not a do or don't do situation. It's a mindfulness issue. Be mindful that clipping closely in reverse, like, and I say closely, I'm going to say 7, 10, 15 blade.
I do also love using them on cats in reverse, reversing on the cat.
Yeah, I just use an 8.5. I don't aim for as smooth and perfect a finish on cats as I do on dogs, because with cats, I am mainly get them done and out of here.
I've got a bunch of maintenance cats now. I have a bunch of cats that are a little bit overweight that get done every 2 or 3 months that I can actually take the time and reverse over the track marks and make them look real pretty because they just don't mind. So if given that opportunity, I'll do it. The other place that I'll reverse oftentimes when I'm doing a breed profile is I'll be clipping down the pattern on the dog and then I'll come up under the neck and I'll reverse that 7 blade up under the neck to get it a little bit short under there.
That's different. That's not like reverse clipping all over. And there's so much cowlicking on the neck. I mean, there's so much different growth that even when you go in reverse, you're going with in some places and against in others.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that we've covered that. Just be mindful about how short you're going. right?
Just know. Take a look at that picture.
All right.
You'll see what I mean.
Cool. I'll try to tag it and put it up on the Facebook page a little higher on the post so it shows up. But yeah. All right, guys. Well, we're going to call this one in the can this week. As I say every week, it's so much fun to be here with you guys. We really love doing the podcast. It's a gas. It's a dream come true. 155 episodes, Barbara. Wow.
Wow.
I know it.
Wow.
Cool. Okay. Let's do it again.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Okay. Let's...
All right. Thanks.
Little did we know. Well, we did know, except that's just it. You know, the thing of it is, we did foresee this.
Yep.
We just didn't know how comfortable we were going to be. We just didn't know exactly, you know, how it was going to come out like, but we knew it was a great idea. And thank you all for listening and supporting us. And I want to especially thank people who have been shopping on my shopping cart and putting up with my kind of lousy customer service in some instances. I'm still having printer problems. I'm still backordered on Chris Christensen stuff. I just apologize for that, and thanks for your patience and understanding.
Okay, I want to mention, just because I realized we have another kind of a, you know, we have a lot of groomers who listen in Arizona. That's one of the biggest states of groomers that listen in Arizona. If any of you guys are really tech savvy, Barbara could use help with her printer over there in Tucson. All right, guys.
Okay.
Happy grooming. We'll see you here next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Bye now. Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie@thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.